Parshat Shlach, Klal Yisrael sin by listening to the Meraglim, listening to the reports of the spies, and Hashem in His wrath responds that He's going to decimate the entire people. Akena Badeva, destroy the entire people. Moshe Rabbeinu stands in defense of the people and he says, can you imagine the Chilul Hashem that will be, that the nations will say that you couldn't take them to the land of Israel? Because Hashem lacked the ability, continuing in source one inside, to bring His people to the land that He had sworn to give them. He slaughtered them in the wilderness. And now, Vata, Yigdal Nakoach Hashem, may the strength of my Lord be magnified as you have spoken, saying, Hashem, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, forgiver of iniquity and willful sin. Forgive now the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your kindness, and as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. And Hashem said, Salachti kitvarecha, I have forgiven because of your words, but as I live, and the glory of Hashem shall fill the entire world, that all the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I performed in Egypt will die in the desert, with the exception of Kalev and Yoshua, etc. So I'd like to focus in on two questions. The first question, which is the obvious question, is, the psukim don't seem to make sense. On the one hand, Hashem says, Salachti kitvarecha, I have forgiven you. And then the very next pasuk says, however, I swear that these men aren't going to go into the land. Well, if Hashem had forgiven them, so then I would have expected Hashem to say, okay, now they can go into the land. How do we reconcile forgiveness with what seems to be punishment? That's question one. Question two is to focus specifically on pasuk Yud Zayin. And now, may the strength of my Lord be magnified, as you have spoken, saying. Well, first of all, do we want Hashem's strength be magnified? I want Hashem, Yigdal Nakoach Hashem. I want Hashem's rachamim to be magnified. What is this idea of Yigdal Nakoach Hashem, that the strength of Hashem should be magnified? And Rashi points out, the end of the pasuk, as you have spoken, saying, is a reference to the Medrash in 3b, where when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to heaven, he sees that Kadosh Baruch Hu is writing in the Torah that Hashem is Erech HaPayim, He's slow to anger. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's true for the tzaddikim. Hashem said, no, it's even for the wicked people. To which Hashem said, there will come a time that you will need this, that you will need me to be slow to anger to the wicked people. And this was the time. That when he says, as you have spoken, saying, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going back to what you told me, that you are slow to anger even for the wicked. And we have to understand in this Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want the wicked people, that Hashem should be slow to anger to them. Why did he think that only for the tzaddikim, only the righteous people, Hashem should forgive? When we take a look at these two questions, what we will see is a Mirtz Hashem as our construct that will answer each question on three levels, some of them very briefly, and then see how the three levels on part one, how did Hashem forgive us and then punish us, will correspond to, will link up with the three levels of the second part of what Yigdal Nakoach Hashem is about, and hopefully we'll come away, albeit a little bit philosophical, but we'll try to bring it down to some practical ideas for our lives, and definitely we'll see that Mirtz Hashem. So here Hashem says, Salachti kidvarecha, I forgave you, and then punishes them. How do we understand this? Idea number one, Torah 1a now, source 4a. We know that the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy, came Klal Midos Rachamav V'Tuvah Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. They are the totality of Hashem's kindness. Continues Rav Mintzberg Zal. However, Hashem says, He taught them all as once. But that doesn't necessarily mean that every time Moshe Rabbeinu needs or anybody to invoke Hashem's kindness, you need to use all 13. In any different situation, you have to know which ones to use. And indeed, we see in our case, Rabban points out, as others, that there were ones that Moshe left out. For example, the MS. Truth. We don't want truth here, and you have to know when to use which midah in any situation. Therefore, he continues, for be ben melech velachim b'shasu shalzam, at this moment of anger, be'emes l'bike shmosha atak kaparam le'alavanam. He knew he couldn't ask for full forgiveness. Ela bituk zera samita miyad. All he could ask for right now is that Hashem shouldn't destroy them completely. of Alexeira Shalika and Sularis Lobike. She didn't yet ask for that they should be able to enter into the land. Mishum Shalipalel Lem Kaidal Kaparav Slicha Malaya Lavanam. Shem meet that their heritage. In the bracket, and B, Lurzoda Melech Meshachasa. It wasn't appropriate that they should ask for these things right now when Hashem is angry. So Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's a precedent for this in 4C of the Chedega, Moshe Rabbeinu decides, you know, let's do it step by step. Let's ask for, in the squiggly in 5, Hatzola Purta, a small salvation. Let's ask for just don't kill the people at this very moment. Let's just not wipe them out. And then Moshe Rabbeinu felt that once he was able to kivyochol appease Hashem, then the next tefillah would be allow them to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem responds, Salachti kidvarecha, I am forgiving them based on what you said. What did you say? That I shouldn't destroy them. I'm not destroying them right here and now. However, he swears that this door, this generation will not enter into the land. So well, the fact that Hashem swears prevented Moshe Rabbeinu from then doing his plan B of being able to then daven, or part B of the tefillah, that he should be able to daven that they should enter into Eretz Yisrael. So how do we understand that there's forgiveness and punishment? There's forgiveness for what Moshe Rabbeinu asked. He asked they shouldn't be killed right here on the spot. That was granted. He wasn't yet able to ask for the second part, which is enabling them to go into the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu preempted his even asking by swearing and saying, you're not able to enter into the land, which prevented Moshe Rabbeinu from davening, and therefore we are forgiven for exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu had asked for, the tulo, and nothing more. That's one approach. The second approach is the approach of Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, in Source 8, where he speaks about that we find in Chazal and in the Pasuk in Yechezkel that this punishment of not being able to go into Eretz Yisrael has a ripple effect throughout history, where Klal Yisrael are going to go into the Midbar Ha'amim, we're going to go into the desert of the nations, or we're going to be in Golos, we're going to be the wandering Jew. And he says that Moshe, that Kadosh Baruch Hu really had an initial plan. The initial plan, as we saw in last week's Parsha Ba'alozcha, it's Vayhi bin So'aro, Vayor Moshe, Kuma Hashem v'yanusoy v'echa v'panecha. The original plan was that Klal Yisrael would enter into Eretz Yisrael, the enemies would flee, there would be the glory of Hashem revealed, and everyone would live happily ever after. That was plan A. Here, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that the people have listened to the spies of the report, he realizes that that manifestation of godliness cannot happen anymore. It just won't work. So now we have to go to plan B. And plan B is to send the Jews, first of all, 40 years in the desert. And ultimately, there's going to be Golos, there's going to be exile. And the Klal Yisrael are going to be many years in Midbar Amim, in the desert of the nations. This plan B is also a manifestation of godliness. However, not in the same direct way. Had we gone into the land, wow, everyone would have seen Hashem's presence. Amazing. The miracles were to perform for His beloved children. The nations would have no choice but to recognize Hashem, the God of Israel, as the King. End of 8. And His kingship stretches over all the realms. However, now that we went into Golos, we now have plan B. Chayani Num Hashem, that Hashem says, even in plan B, My glory is going to be manifested. And here we have a hint to this, or a bird's eye view into this, into what Rav Yaakov Emden writes in his introduction to a sitter. And he says in Source 10, when we contemplate our situation in the history of the world, we realize that we're a nation exiled like scattered sheep. After all the thousands of years of hardship that have befallen us, there's no nation as oppressed as ours. Our enemies are numerous. With hatred and jealousy, they've raised their heads to uproot and destroy us. Even so, they've been unable to fulfill their plans. The most powerful of nations have risen against us and long ago fallen, their memory forgotten like a passing shadow. But we, who cling to Hashem, survive today. And says Rav Yaakov Emden, continuing in 11, by my life I swear that this is greater in my eyes than the miracles that Hashem performed for our forefathers in Egypt and the desert in Eretz Yisrael. The longer the galus lasts, the more the miracle becomes obvious. So yes, Hashem says, Salati kivarecha, I've forgiven you. Ah, they're not able to go into the land. They have to wander for 40 years. That's part of the forgiveness, where Hashem says, I now have to, so to speak, as Rav Ashavai says, I have to reboot the original plan. And now we have to start again. And instead of having to go into the land, we have to have a new way where the manifestation of godliness will be found. And that's through Golos. That when the nations of the world see that we're able to survive despite all the torments and all the persecutions of history, that too is going to be a Gilui Kvod Shamayim, a revelation of godliness. So on level number two, how do we understand that we're punished and yet we're forgiven? Hashem says, I'm forgiving you. Now we have to re-examine how we're going to have the glory of God manifested, and that's going to be through you wandering on a micro level in the desert, and the macro level, us wandering in the desert of the nations. And the final approach of the three is how do we reconcile the forgiveness and the punishment. It's a beautiful idea, a very fundamental idea that we really need to take with us, is in Tiva Torah. He says in Source 13, Yisod Gadol B'Ikrei Adat Afshar L'Molka. There is a tremendous lesson that we can learn here, and that is, the squiggly, 13, Sha'av Sha'kadosh Baruch Hu Hukel Tov V'Salach, albeit Hashem, it's the kind, forgiving God. Ach B'Slicha Atzma Yishmat V'Gosu L'Mal Misu. There are many levels of forgiveness, right? We say on our Yom Kippur Davening, Slach Lanu, Mechal Lanu, Kaper Lanu. There's slicha, there's mechila, there's kapara. Yesh slicha shakol nimchak v'nislach. There's some type of forgiveness where the slate is wiped clean. Yesh slicha shadayin apagam nishar. But sometimes, right, you know, you have like little kids who get into a fight. And they say, let's make up. And they make up and they hold hands and they, you know, play dolls together. And everything's happy. And then there's some times where a person's hurt another person. It's very easy to say, I forgive you, but the pain is still there. And the ramifications are still there. And the relationship is not the same. There is a consequence. V'chan omnam slach lahem Hashem, ach adayin itchayvu be'onesh, ki begam ha'vera lo zazim komo. So yes, Hashem forgave them. Nevertheless, there is a residue effect, residual effect for what they've done, and that had to be expiated, and that had to take place by Klal Yisrael being in the desert of 40 years. And he says this helps us explain why we find in Chazal sometimes saying, you know, someone who says, Kol Ona, Amen Yeshrei Rabba B'Kol Kocha, you answer with all your might, Kol Amen Yeshrei Rabba, Hashem's manifestation of His greatness is found in the whole world. The terrible decree of 70 years is knocked out. And a person comes to Bris Mila, their sins are forgiven. And you go to Pidyon Haben, it's like you fasted 84 fasts. Well, you know what? If I would answer Amen Yeshrei Rabba, then go to two Brises, and then Pidyon Haben, the same day, man, I would think like, you know, there's nothing left. And the answer is, there's plenty left. Trust me, there's plenty left. Why? Because it may take off one layer, but there's so many layers underneath that have to be dealt with. You know, it's like a kid who goes into like a mud puddle. So the mother, you know, comes and picks the kids up, like, you know, this carefully, not getting too close to the kid, right? And like the back of the neck. And first of all, she takes off the shirt. And then she takes off the undershirt. And then she takes off the pants, right? And then she washes the kid, right? There are many layers of dirt. Like this, you know, keeps on going. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with us. We have to understand that even if Hashem forgives us, and we say, we did tshuva, why are we getting punished? Because again, there are many, many layers, there's many effects, and it will be that we get forgiven, again, with the Rav Soloveitchik, El Tshuva on repentance, talks about this at the beginning, the difference between Tzlicha, Kapara, Bechila. There are different levels of levels of forgiveness and the effects that it has on any given person. Knowing this, my friends, knowing that there's so many different levels, the Tiva Torah of Gamliel shares with us a gewaltic wiping. You know, moms walk around with a wiping where a kid, you know, has chocolate over his face and just wipe it down. His hands get, in today's danger of corona, everyone's walking around with wipings, right? So, and then he says, is what we call situations of Agbas Nefesh. He says, Lamocha Kershbrochum Mar Salachti Kidvarecha, double squiggly in 14. Nevertheless, Adayim Tzarech Zichuch L'Neshama. You sometimes need, in any situation, purification of the soul through Yisurim. Elub Shibarov Rachamava Chasadam is Tabkim Yisurim Ktanim. But Hashem in His kindness gives us small Yisurim. And this is a tremendous chizuk for strength for us to know that even though we have aveiros sins that we need yisurim, we need challenges to forgive them. Mikol makom kol agvas nefesh tana biyoter sheyesh la'adam, the asterisk of 14, he bichlala yisurim shemachaprimo. Know that it doesn't have to be major things like the major bath to gain this forgiveness. And it could be small things. And he calls them, so the Gemara speaks about, you put your hand in your pocket, you want a quarter for the machine, and you come out with a nickel. Oh, and you put your hand back in. That's Agmas Nefesh. That's frustration. That wipes away. That's a wiping. Wipes away some sin. You put on your shirt. Ah, it's backwards, a sweater. Great. Agmas Nefesh. You know what I think about this personally, is I have a cabinet that I had a Darkei Bina student many years ago, who's now married with a number of children, who reorganized my kitchen so that it should be user-friendly. And I have a basket on the first shelf of different measuring cups. So I open up the cabinet, take out the basket, you know, put my hand in the basket, and I want a quarter of a cup. And 9 times out of 10, okay, I should organize it better. You're right, but I don't have patience or time or desire even. I come out with 1/3 of a cup. Now I ask you, who created 1/3 of a cup? 1/4 of a cup has a purpose. 1/4 of a cup could be 1/4 of a cup, 1/2 a cup, or 1/4 cup, or 3/4 of a cup. I understand why they created 1/4 of a cup, but 1/3 of a cup, like, hello. So every time I want 1/4 of a cup, I come up 1/3 of a cup, I said, oh, thank you, Hashem. This takes the cake, right? This is what I need. This is great Yisurim, that moment of frustration. And obviously, when I need 1/3 of a cup, it happens once in a blue moon. Then what comes out? 1/4 of a cup. Right, of course. So this isn't Murphy. Murphy doesn't exist in Yiddishkeit. This is Hashkacha, that Hashem gives us exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. And he brings a beautiful mashal in 15. He says the mashal of a king whose son disobeyed him, and the king was very upset. And he said, that's to punish you. And the son says, please give me another chance. Okay. Gives him a second chance. And he disobeys him again. He said, I'm telling you, if you do this 1/3 time, I'm going to take a big stone and throw it on you. Well, of course, the kid did it 1/3 time. So now the king is stuck. If he takes a big stone, he's going to, you know, really hurt the kid. He doesn't want to. So what does he do? Because he said, if you do it 1/3 time, I'm going to throw a stone on you. So a wise advisor said, take that big stone you wanted to throw on your son and chop it up into little pieces and just throw pebbles on him. And that is the imagery that we have to think about, that there are pebbles that Hashem throws on us, and those are the pebbles of expiation. So that when things happen, and again, there are different sized pebbles, yeah? There are pebbles of my 1/4 of a cup and 1/3 of a cup. There's pebbles called flat tires, and, you know, the pebbles can get bigger and smaller, the rocks. However, when these things happen, my response has to be, thank you, Hashem. Thank you for the pebbles. Thank you for giving me this instead of the large stone. So, my friends, we've now answered the first question. Again, we've highlighted ideas that all of them need to be explored much deeper. We'll get back to each of the ideas when we look at Birat Hashem, the second levels. Just to review, we have, how could Hashem say, Salachti kivarecha, I forgave you, and then punish them? So again, Salachti kivarecha is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu asked for. He just asked they should be destroyed. He didn't have time yet to ask for more than that, hence the punishment. Idea number 2 is that Hashem says, this is how I'm forgiving you. I'm forgiving you by bringing now plan B into the picture. You can't have plan A anymore of just going into the land. So now, this is plan B. This is a forgiveness that you'll go in by wandering, and again, what the model of wandering is about. And that will be, as Rav Yaakov Emden said, that will be the glorification of God. On the third level, is Hashem says, of course I'm forgiving you, but know that forgiveness has many levels to it. It doesn't mean that I say I forgive you, Salati kivarecha, now you're off the hook. You still have to pay the price for what you've done. There is an effect of our actions, and we have to recognize that. So we can't just walk around being, you know, in a very gleeful way, well, Hashem forgave me, Yom Kippur, everything is forgiven. Right? Again, you know, as Rav Galil says, Salachti kivarecha, Hashem forgives us according to our words, to the extent that we really mean it. That's the level of forgiveness. We're just, you know, paying lip service. Well, then the level of forgiveness is obviously going to shift. And Hashem will send us those minor you know, frustrations in this world, you know, not finding a parking space. All of these things that happen to us, our images should be, white bee, wiped off another layer, white bee, wiped off another layer. And it just gives us that chizut, that feeling of like, not why does Hashem hate me, but rather, Hashem loves me, that He's giving me these annoyances in life to be able to expiate any levels that may be left from my tshuva. Okay. If that's idea number one, now let's look at a little bit more complex here. Is this Ata Yigdal Na'akoach Hashem? So obviously, how do we understand that we want Hashem's forgiveness to be greater? We don't want Hashem's koach, His strength. I don't want Hashem's strength to be greater. I want Hashem's kindness to be greater. So here the Siftei Chaim offers, based on the Medrash in source number 19, Rav Chaim Friedlander Zatzal, the following. Ribon Kol Ha'olamim, Aseh Bishvilcha, Hashem, please do this for you, was Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah. Vata Yigdal Na'koach Hashem, Hashem, please have your koach be greater. What does this mean? V'tinatzeach Midas HaRachamim L'Midas HaDir. Please have the Midas HaRachamim, the attribute of kindness, overcome the attribute of judgment. How do we understand this? So Rav Chaim Friedlander explains that Yigdal Na, Yigdal, to be able to become greater, is from the concept of Gadol, of greatness. And we know, when Moshe Rabbeinu davened, Atachilot Elorot Avdecha, Godlecha, Hashem, you begun to show me your greatness. What is Godlecha? Zomidos Tufcha, says Rashi. This is your attribute of goodness. And quote our pasuk, Vata Yigdal Na Koach Hashem. Yigdal Na means, it's like a psik, stop. Yigdal Na, may the attribute of Yigdal, of Gadol, of greatness, become manifested. And that Yigdal, that manifestation of Hashem's kindness, that should overcome Yigdal Na Koach Hashem, Aleph Dal Nun Yud, should overcome the Midah of Rachem, of Din, the Midah of strict justice. And that is what Moshe Rabbeinu is davening for. He's not davening that the attribute of strength should be increased. We don't want that. Rather, on this level, we're asking for Yigdal Na, the attribute of Godless, of Hashem's kindness, should become so great that it should overcome, it should suffuse Ekoach Hashem, the Midah of Hashem's harshness, Hashem's strength. And he explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, Erech HaPayim, I'm going to be, this is source 20, I'm going to be nice to the Rishayim as well as Tzadikim. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you mean? If you're nice to the Tzadikim, that brings Kvod Shemayim into this world. However, you can't be nice to the Rishayim, because if you're nice to the Rishayim, that's going to be a Chilul Hashem. People are going to think that Rishayim, wicked people, could do things, and they can get away with it. To which Hashem says, you know what? If you don't appreciate it, then it won't work. The moment you appreciate it, it's able to come into fruition. And now Moshe Rabbeinu suddenly said, whoa, we can need to have sometimes a plan B, just like we saw on the second level. Obviously, it would be much greater, Kiddush Hashem, if Hashem would just bring Klai Yisrael into the land, and we wouldn't have to suffer, we wouldn't have to go through the whole process. But sometimes that's not feasible. Obviously, it would be great if we were all righteous people. However, that's not always the case. Sometimes we need plan B. And here Moshe Rabbeinu understands that plan B is that even the Rishayim, even the wicked people, will recognize that if Hashem is Erech HaPayim, that Hashem is slow to anger, that gives them an opportunity to do tshuva and be able to find Hashem in this way. So the whole aspect of Hashem's Erech HaPayim, the whole aspect of Hashem being slow to anger, has the ability to bring about a Kvod Shemayim, a revelation of godliness. Of course, if a lightning strikes, that's a clear way of Kvod Shemayim every time a person sins. This is a less clear way, just like going through the desert. It's a less clear way in Golos to be able to see the manifestation of Hashem. But nonetheless, this is also, to a certain degree, even a greater manifestation of Hashem, that Hashem enables even the wicked people to be able to do tshuva. And this is this aspect of the midah of Yichud Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, where Hashem is found in all situations in life. And even when there is this Erech HaPayim, there is this slow to anger, and even at times of din, at times of justice, it's the same Hashem who's running the show. So when I've seen that Hashem is slow to anger, I shouldn't automatically then say, well, there's no justice in the world. Rather, I have to appreciate what we spoke about last week, the Shema Yisrael's Hashem Elokeinu, both at the times of mercy and at times of judgment. It's Hashem Echad, it's the same God of mercy, where all Hashem wants is that people should recognize Him. At times, there's going to be that wake-up call of strict need, of strict justice. And at times, it's going to be where Hashem is forbearing and slow to punishment. And in that way, slow to anger, that a person can be able to wake up and can be able to do tshuva. And this is our challenge, my friends. Our challenge, and he says it so clearly in 23, Zehu inyan hakarat ha-yichud bed pamim b'chol yom l'chazek b'emunat ha-yichud l'akir ech shakarish baruch hu sholit ha-yochi. When we say Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the Echad is the yichidiyut of Hashem. It's the uniqueness of Hashem. It's the oneness of Hashem. V'hu megalgel ekol me'orot ha-briyah el ha-yichud. And Hashem brings the whole world to this idea of oneness. And obviously, this is our bechira, this is our free choice, that we're able to see in all situations in life that Hashem is in control, and that our job is to be able to access this. So my friends, before we take this even further, when we talk about on level now, we're on level 2, eh? V'tay yigdal na'koach Hashem, what is Moshe Rabbeinu davening for, says the Medrash? She's davening that the yigdal, the godless, the kindness of Hashem should be able to overcome the din of Hashem, the strict justice, and to recognize that when Hashem is kind and merciful to wicked people, it's like on the first level, plan B of Rav Asher Weishlita, that sometimes Hashem says, it's not the direct way of finding a manifestation, it's through an indirect way. And when we say the Shema every day, we have to be able, we close our eyes, we have to be able to say, when we see it and when we don't see it, we have to be able to believe Hashem Echad. This is our mantra, the Yichidiyut of Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, the ability to know that in all situations, Hashem is the one leading our lives. I'd like to pause for a moment and share a story. A very beautiful story from, again, Rabbi Spiro Sefer, The Spark Within. Again, as I mentioned last week, I really don't like Holocaust stories, and here I am, 2 weeks running, sharing a Holocaust story. It's a story that he tells on page 148, if anyone wants to reference it, of a certain Rav Shmuel Dov Friedman, who's the author of State Sofim, who dedicated a Sefer Torah to the Klal Hasidim Beis Medrash in Tveria 2 years ago, 2018. And it was written in memory of somebody who spent most of his life outside of the Jewish community. Who was this person that he felt it was worthy of writing a Sefer Torah in his memory? So here's the story. There was a young man whose name was Pinchas Naftali, who didn't have his ration of bread that morning. So he decided to, in order to survive, he was going to go into the kitchen and look for bread. So he walked into the kitchen, he found a slice of bread, he tried to hide it, and as soon as he came out, he was caught. And obviously that was punishable by death. So they line him up against the wall where they shoot people to death. I mean, he's barbaric. Yimach Shemam V'Zichram. And he knew he was about to die, so he screamed from the depth of his soul, Shema Yisrael. And that angered the Germans. How could you scream Shema Yisrael at this moment? They weren't happy with his cry of defiance and determination. So they decided that they would beat him to death instead, it'd be a much more painful death. And they, you know, took their rifles and beat him over the head, and every part of his body, blood is burning out, and he falls unconscious, and in their mind, they killed him. One of the inmates realized that he wasn't dead, and picked him up, and brought him back to the barracks. And although he physically became, you know, healthy again, he'd never be the same. The ferocious blows had left them in a compromised mental state. A few months later, the war was over. He had no clue where he was or what was going on. People found that his sister was alive, living ultimately in Belgium. And his sister decided to put him in unfortunately, she couldn't take care of him in a mental institution, not Jewish, to be able to take care of him. And wrote instructions that when he would ultimately leave this world, that they should call the Jewish Burial Society and have him buried. 70 years later, he outlived his sister. He dies, and they called the Chevra Kadisha, and the Chevra Kadisha took his body. And now I want to quote from you from the story. As he carried Pinchas Avtali's body toward the hearse, Reb Shraga noticed that one of the non-Jewish nurses had joined him. Crying bitter tears, she asked if she could say a few parting words. So he figured, like, why not? Pinchas Avtali never met anyone as extraordinary as you. I hope that I served you well and took care of you with the honor you deserve over the past 30 years. So Reb Shraga, was one of the head of the Chevra Kadisha, looked at him and then she added, may your Shema Yisrael escort you forever. And he looked at her and said, this Goyish nurse knows about Shema Yisrael, what's going on here? So she explained, she says, though I've been working here for only 3 decades, Pinchas Avtali was here for 7 decades altogether. During that entire time, he said only 2 sentences, but he said them twice every day. In the morning, he cried out, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. Then he was silent for the rest of the day until it was time for him to go to sleep. Whereupon he once again proclaimed, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. With tears of sorrow and compassion streaming down her cheek, she asked, is it not fitting for me to bless him that this verse escort him to the worlds of truth? Is it not fitting that this person should have a Sefer Torah written about him? And what a model for us, that even not functioning in a cognizant state, one is able to hold on to the Shema Yisrael, that no matter what happens, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Now, my friends, for us, how are we able to access this level of Yigdal Nakoach Hashem, of being able to have the Midas HaRachamim overtake the Midas HaDin? So, L'titchel Yom quotes Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler says in 25, Hashem created a world with a plethora of chesed. And chesed, kindness, even if we don't deserve it. And kindness to be merciful for the Rishayim. But in order to be able to access this aspect of tremendous kindness, he put it on us. Only when Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's like you said to me, that was able to awaken it. You have to ask for this chesed. Lamrochu lo magilanu, even if we don't deserve it. El shanechto shoafim v'rotzim l'rot et ha-kiddush Hashem shagilui chavte Hashem amubim gam b'lish magilanu. We have to turn to Hashem and say, Hashem, I know I'm not deserving of this. Hashem, I know that you have abundant kindness. Please be able to bring down this abundant kindness on us. And to all the while, the Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand this. And he said, no, wicked people should die. He wasn't able to access it. But now when he came to the situation where we need plan B, he was able to say, Hashem, please, you told me that this works. Please show this to me. Vata yigdal na koach Hashem. The Be'er Moshe, the Usher Rav Rebbe, adds in 26, he says, it's not just that we should ask for, or Moshe Rabbeinu just asks for regular kindness. There's regular kindness, and then there's yigdal now. There's even greater kindness, right? That greater kindness, yigdal, is from Gemol Dalim, that Hashem has rachmanis on those who are poor, is the, what Moshe Rabbeinu says here, tzlach na kigodel chastecha, in the asterisk in 26. Forgive us now, kigodel chastecha, to the extent of the enormity of your kindness. When we're, you know, living normal lives, so we can ask for our kindness from Hashem. But when we really sin, it's not enough just to get kindness from Hashem. We have to get yigdal na koach Hashem. It has to be yigdal na, kigodel chastecha. And indeed, if we take a look at the bottom of 27, we understand some more beautifully. I don't know if anyone else feels this way. I feel like we're in Yom Kippur. We're living Yom Kippur now, like, all the time. like on the Tanatokef all the time. So when we enter into Yom Kippur, we say this pasuk, Slach na lavon ha'am hazeh, kegodel chasdecha, according to the greatness of your kindness. I want to awaken the godel chasdecha, the greatness of Hashem's kindness, sha'al yadas, lichat ha'avon, ubitul gzeiros, in order through Yom Kippur that we can revata, we can nullify the decrees. And this also explains two other things. In the arrow in 27, when we say in our davening, Mechaye meitim, that Hashem resurrects the dead, we say berachamim rabim, not just with kindness, but berachamim rabim with enormous kindness. Lo rachamim stam, el rachamim rabim, begeder chesed gadol. Because if a person's on the level of mate, it doesn't have to necessarily be someone physically dead, but someone who has a lot of the kitrukim, a lot of the negative forces on this person, we have to daven that Hashem awaken this ability to revive this person, revive ourselves. We need a lot of chesed. So we say that Hashem is mechayim meisim, that He revives those who don't deserve to live or don't deserve to have whatever it is, Rachamim Rabbi, with tremendous amount of rachamim, because we recognize that Hashem has this. Our job is to be able to what? To be able to access it. That's what Hashem wants. He wants us to daven. He wants us to recognize. And obviously this is the idea, that the more we recognize this aspect, the more we are able to appreciate this and to be able to connect with the depth of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is well explained. And this double squiggly, 27, just moving up here, while we say in our Yom Kippur davening, by the confessions, we say, Anu Malayim Malay Avo, we are filled with sin, Vata Malay Rachami, but you, Hashem, are filled with kindness. Well, that's like an interesting, ability to say, like, we're comparing, I'm filled with sin and Hashem is filled with kindness, like, what's going on here? But no, rather what we're saying is, Anu Malayavo, we are so filled with sin. Having said that, we also recognize, Vatama Le'rachamim, you are filled with so much mercy. And we realize that the only way we can become forgiven because we're Malayavo is with this Malay'rachamim. So in order to access this aspect, the first thing is we have to daven. We have to be able to say, Hashem, we know you have this reservoir of chesed chinam, of free kindness. And this is gratuitous greatness. We're asking to be able to tap into this gratuitous greatness. The second aspect of the way we can access this rachamim rabim is what the Or Yecheskel, Rav Chasko Levenstein Tzatzal, says, the Chochman Matzpun quotes this, we're in 28 in the second paragraph. He says, V'chein kan, Halo Kadosh Baruch Hu Baal Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, Hashem is the master of these 13 attributes of mercy. Omnam Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mishtanesh B'midos Eilu Im Kulam, but Hashem doesn't use all of them. V'rach B'zman Sheyesh L'adam Shaychus L'midos Eilu, Yidnahek Imo Kadosh Baruch Hu B'midos HaRachamim. It's only to the extent that Hashem, that a person is connected to these mitos, will Hashem act in this way? Because he says, "Mikol makom sarich she'elad uzikam esuyama mitos elu." If a person isn't a nice person, then Hashem isn't going to be nice necessarily. It's Hashem's socha. We decide how Hashem interacts with us. If I judge others for the benefit of the doubt, Hashem will judge me for the benefit of the doubt. That's the reality here. Everything is measured based on us. Everything is really based on our actions. So you want to know, when we talk about, well, how do I bring Hashem's kindness down? So one is you have to daven for berachamim rabim. You have to ask for Hashem's great kindness, to the extent of your greatness, of your kindness. The other aspect of it, and it goes hand in hand, is if you want Hashem to act with you with kindness, then you have to act with others with kindness. You have to, you know, the Bali Musar say that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the 13 Midos, and he says, when you do Kaseder Hazeh in this order, then I'll forgive you. It's not just saying Hashem, Hashem, Karachim, Chanun. It's not even just saying in a higher decibel. Kaseder Hazeh means you have to live it. You have to be someone who's Erech Hapayim. You have to be someone who's Rav Chesed. You have to be someone who's Chanun Verachum. When we have these attributes, Hashem can respond in turn. And indeed, he knows the source 30. You ever wonder why Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't ask for Schus Avos in the merit of the forefathers to protect Klai Yisrael here? Like, by Chet Egel, he says, remember, Avram Yitzchak, like, where are they here? They're absent. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't mention them. The Avos represented individuals who loved Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was their whole life. And now the people are spurning the land. How is Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to mention Chus Avos? Right, if you're not holding by a certain value, you can't ask Hashem for that particular value. And we know. 31, Lufisa Yivuar Beyeter Amkus, Chovat Mitzvah Dvekus. Now we can appreciate why we need to really focus in on the midos that connect us to Hashem. Chazal say, Mahu Rachu Mafatai Rachu. As He is merciful, God is merciful, we have to be merciful. Mahu Chanon Afatai Chanon. As He is kind and forgiving, we have to be. V'abiyor Mekubel Shazekiyo Mitzvah Dvekus. So we normally think that's how you connect to Hashem. Ulud Vareinu in the asterisk in 31, Yesh Lamar Od. Sherei Chovatenu Liskobot Adato Yitbarach Haidei Yudgivu Mitos. No, it's more than that. This is what's going to enable us to tap into the 13 Mitos of Rachamim of Hashem. Umekevan Chaschur La Kadosh Baruch Hu Rak Be'etche Yesh Lo Sheikh Lo Midotav. We can only access these Mitos when we have a connection to these Mitos. And therefore, Mukhrach Avhu Lio Rachu, we have to have these. As Chazal Telos Kol Marachim and the Aaron 31 Alabrios Marachim Lamin HaShemayim. One who has mercy on others, Hashem will mercy on him. V'choshenu Marachim Alabrios. And one who doesn't have mercy on others, A Marachim Lamin HaShemayim. Hashem won't have mercy on him. This is the natural consequences. And therefore, we have to realize that it's not like a punishment, but that Hashem very much takes our lead. And that's why the Baruch Chaim, Rav Biderman Shlita, brings down from the Arvei Nachal, who quotes the Yashach HaKadosh in Parshat Miketz, She'etza tova le'ish hazakot le'yeshua. If a person needs salvation, here's advice. Take a friend and be ready to give over to that friend 100% of who you are. When Hashem sees that you're ready to give above and beyond to somebody else, then kivyachol Hashem will go above and beyond for you. Rabbi Biderman brings down the maisa of a couple who weren't blessed with children, went to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zatzal, and asked them for a bracha. And Rav Shlomo Zalman turned to them and says, who says you deserve to have children? I mean, don't you appreciate all that Hashem has given you? We deserve, like, we can't expect anything. Everything we get is above and beyond. Be able to breathe, be able to talk, be able to walk is a gift from Hashem. Like, you know, you want children too? So they cried hysterically. They said, is there something we can do? And this is the advice that Rav Shlomo Zalman gave. He says, when you're Moser Nefesh, when you will go above and beyond for Hashem Kivyacho, then He will go above and beyond for you. It's that shadow. And they took on a project of chesed, doesn't say what it was, project of stucco. And that year they were blessed with a little boy. And that's what we have to understand, that to say, you know, Hashem, please give me rachamim. Oh boy, could I use kindness from Hashem. That's nice. However, aside from the tefillah, we have to be able to act in a way that reflects the midah that we're asking for. Just to end the second level, this first level of the second part, there's a beautiful idea that Reb Leibel Eger in Torah Semes brings in 33a. And he says, Va'ata yigdal na kolach Hashem. What does the word Va'ata mean? So the Zohar in 33a says, Bel Zerubbi brings, that it is la'olam olmei omaya. Va'ata is now, it's a continuous verb, and always. And he brings the following, and he says, Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching for all future generations. When you see that there is a midah agvura in the world, when you see that Hashem's hand is very much din, judgment, and at times we need this to be able to recognize that there's an Odom Ba'olam. The Midah of Din wakes us up that Hashem is trying to tell you something. Avo ba'echi asim hadam in the asterisk, el libo shiyat so ekel Hashem lam anitzrach ani lakarazu eide nidas agvura. However, when din comes, judgment comes to the world, and a person vatazel, so language of tshuva, a person wakes up and says, Hashem, I'm hearing you. You're bopping me over the head. I hear you. Why, Hashem, can't you also give me this message in a way of kindness? Why can't you suffuse me with kindness? Why does it always have to be din? If you do goodness to me, that will also be a way of showing kindness. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, that Hashem should listen to this Jew's voice. And when they have this Yisorus, they have this awakening of tshuva, Yigdal na koach Hashem, that Hashem should be able to overcome the time of din with kindness. And my friends, this is like screaming out for where we're at right now. We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, we get it. There's a lot of din here. Hashem, can you now just, we got it. We have to wake up. We have to do tshuva, vata. Now that we've gotten the message, can you please, Hashem, this is what we have to daven for, suffuse us with rachamim rabim. And again, part of this picture has to be that we have to go out of our way to do acts of kindness, to be able to be rachel, v'chanun, etc. So that's the first understanding of what is v'ata yigdal na koach Hashem. With yigdal na, the idea of gadlus Hashem should overcome the koach, the Midas Hadin, and we have to ask for it, we have to act this way, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is stabbing for. The second way of understanding this pasuk is a gewaltic insight of Rav Hirsch, where he says, 34, Yigdal now, the sign of the future tend to stress by the large Yud. All the greatness of the miracles and the power that you have shown thus far in Egypt and the wilderness, all this does not reach that greatness of Koach that will now be shown if you will forgive their sin. For your power is world-creating and world-bearing, and in order to accomplish your purpose, it overcomes the world and shapes the world. All this is inherent in the concept of koach, of strength. This koach will now be demonstrated if in the face of such defection you will act in accordance with your attributes, according to the mode of rule that you revealed to me, and you will be erech hapayim, slow to anger. You see, continuing the arrow, according to heathen thought, the great might of its gods lies in destruction. But the true God is great not in might, but in power. Koach. Koach's ability to create light out of darkness, to transform opposition into agreement. Koach fans the tiny harmonious spark that lies hidden in the very midst of the opposition, and through the spark blazes a trail by which in the course of time the opposition can be overcome and transformed into agreement. Vata yigdal na koach Hashem kasher dibarta lemur, the sudden annihilation of the entire nation would demonstrate your might. The end of 34. But your power will be revealed in all of its greatness if you let the people live, and through them, and with their assistance, you achieve the purpose they have scorned. Vata yigdal na koach Hashem is as it sounds. Hashem, your koach should become greater. Ah, we said koach isn't good, it's might. In this case, it's who Gibor Kovash Yitzro. Who is the mighty one? The one who overcomes their temptation. The one who's able to hold back. And this parallels our third idea. The greatness of Hashem is shown not when he throws a rock. Anyone who gets angry can throw a rock. The greatness is that you're able to take that rock and break it up into thousands of pieces, and be able just to throw a pebble here and there. You're able to hold back that anger and be able to distill it down into tiny aspects. And it's interesting, Rav Wolbe points out in 35, in Alei Shur, V'klal gadol leino dat, that kol midotav shel Kadosh Baruch Hu yishnam gam ba'adam. Every midah, and that's why we have it. We're creating Selam Elokim, that's why we have the midos of Hashem in the Torah. Every midah that's found in Hashem is found in us. Gam hu yacholi nahei hester panim v'lekanei b'choron af b'kom shura chet v'chotzer tzlemur. A person can be very upset when he sees something wrong going on. V'yishnam ba'adam gam kochot nefesh yoter p'nimim. And then we have deeper parts of us, my friends. Koach kabir shel ava nidava v'rachmanos. A place of passion, of compassion, of a feeling of mercy. And we're able to allow these, like Kiv Yochel Kodesh Baruch Hu, to be able to overcome our feelings of anger. And he says, Kamuma Pamayim Adira Yarain Marshe Arim Vishotefa Vanim Vetsim Hom Din Bidarko. We can allow, like a strong waterfall, we can allow our rachamim to be able to just overcome the sin, to be able to overcome the things that people do to us. And that's really our challenge. He says, L'chvosh et takas v'legalgel rachamim okol sharamitos. Imatate odeo, yigdal na'koach Hashem. It's a calling for us that we have to, when we're really angry about something, we're really frustrated or upset, and we have every right to be. As a Kadosh Baruch Hu had every right to be. But yigdal na'koach Hashem, we have to learn from a Kadosh Baruch Hu that we don't need to erupt as a volcano. We were able to take that deep breath and we're able just to have that waterfall of chesed, of rachamim, and to be able to understand where the person is coming from and why they did this. And instead of just responding with anger, to respond with understanding. So when that person cuts us off on the road or in the, you know, store, it has nothing to do with us. And you're right, it's not right, and it's not fair, and it's not just, and you're right. But have rachmanis on the person. Who knows why they did this? Who knows what they were even thinking of this? Who knows even if they see you? And when we live a life of this rachamim, we're living this life of yigdal na'koach Hashem, in matati odeo, we're not throwing rocks at people. We're throwing, if at all, small little pebbles. Those are the first two understandings. I'd like to end with one final idea. And that's a very powerful insight the Mishkat Shemet has. And he introduces this idea by Shlomo HaMelech. We know that Shlomo HaMelech was a ruler over really the whole world, and there was a period of time where Shlomo HaMelech lost all of his rights as a king. And he didn't rule even on anybody except Amaklo. He only ruled the Gemara Sanhedrin on his staff. So you ask yourself, well, what exactly does it mean that you rule over your staff? I understand ruling over a staff of people, but not a staff that you lean on. And the answer is, he had self-control. The answer is, the Legam Lachar Shruchak 37, the asterisk, Maramon Machutov, Nishar Bodeid Vazuv Yachib Alamo, even if it was all by himself. He talech hala b'gvim grone ha-malchus l'shinat rachavi negutok k'malo neima. He never lost his stature of being a king. And here the Mishkat Shemen teaches us a very deep idea of what Yigdal na'koach Hashem is about. And he says, 38, Rav Kaufman Zatzal, v'kasher mitameitz ish Yisrael, when a person works very hard, when a person works on what we call self-control, and we're able to overcome our negiyos, our personal agendas, we're able to overcome what I want and really be able to see the needs of others and be able to access those, you awaken tremendous amount of kindness from above. And this, he brings the Medrash in Eicha Rabbah, Bizman Yisrael Osim Ritzonel Shomokom, when we do the will of Hashem, Mosifin Koach Begvura Shomala, we as if Kivyachol, through Oslo Lokim, we give strength to Hashem in this world. And that's what it means, Vata Yigdal Na Koach Hashem, that when we are able to overcome our temptation, when we have a response to make and we don't make it, when we're able to act in a way which is our higher selves, that is what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching us, the goal. Vata yigdal na'koach Hashem. The goal of every Jew is to be able to go through our nisyonos, our challenges in life, and to be able to be stronger because of it. And we are strengthening kivyachol Hashem in this world. We're making Hashem's presence more pronounced in this world. And obviously that greater gilui kvod shamayim, that greater godliness that we create in this world, will stand as a protection for every person. So yigdal na'koach Hashem is literal. And it's the future tense, v'ata, continuous. All of us have the ability of yigdal na, that we can make the koach of Hashem kivyachol, the power of Hashem greater in this world. And how do we do this? We do this by accessing the midos of Hashem. We do this by working on understanding that our whole life is about becoming that godly type of person, becoming that higher sense of a person. And someone just emailed me today, a student many, many years ago, with whatever nisyon she's going through, and she said, I never would have chosen this nisyon, but obviously Hashem chose it for me, so He knows that this is the best that I'm going through. And every time, and it's a difficult nisyon, are any nisyons not difficult? And every time she goes to this nisyon, she realizes, she says, this is how I have to be me. This is why Hashem wants me to strengthen myself in terms of who I am. And every time she's able to be successful, it's Yigdal Nam Koach Hashem. She is creating greatness and godliness in this world. And that's why, my friends, as an imagery for this third level, and this third level really parallels, my friends, the first level of Salachti Kivarecha, that Hashem forgives us according to who we are, that we create the reality in this world. Just like Hashem says, I'll forgive you for what you asked me for. This is what you asked me for. I'm forgiving you. So too Hashem says, for every time that you're able to overcome whatever issue it is, that's where Kivyachol Hashem gets elevated, and that's where we become as elevated people. And the mindset that Rav Brazil brings in Mishvili Nivra Olam in the second paragraph from 42, he says, V'alzeh omer ha-katuv, rochev shamayim be'ezrecha. Pasuk in Dvarim, that Hashem rides with our help. Obviously, this is a Kabbalistic idea. The Nefesh HaChaim explains, Sh'avodat sorach gavoa, Sh'Hashem rochev al shamayim be'asiyata, Sh'mekabel mavodat b'nei Yisrael. Kivyachol, Hashem is raised by the work we do down here. Obviously, it's not literal. Again, it's a manifestation of godliness becomes that much more intense in this world. And that's why we're here. You know, Hashem created the world, l'chvoti b'rati, Hashem created greater gilui k'vot shamayim. And then he says, v'chein ita b'chazal, shemashash Yisrael, simetzorosh shalmakom, heim damit bilim kocha shakarish baruch hu. When we do the will of Hashem, we are increasing Hashem's power in this world, v'atayi dana kocha Hashem. And he knows, he says, if we were to keep this idea in mind, v'nei ha-tavlin l'chol neged ha-yetzah hara. This is perhaps the cure to fight our yetzah hara. When you're tested, right? It can be tested in anger, tested in patience, tested in a major nisayon in life. Imagine this imagery. In the double underline 42, if a Jew would just think, that you refuse to listen to your yitzhara, you're not going to speak lashon hara, you're not going to, whatever it is. You are enabling Kivyachol Hashem to ride in heaven. That would be a help to enable a person to have that strength to overcome whatever we're doing. My friends, just to summarize what we've tried to see today, a lot of very deep ideas. Yigdal na koach Hashem, allow the gadol, the godlecha, the midah rachamim to overcome the midah hadin. And that is, obviously there's plan A, but sometimes we need plan B. Obviously Hashem wanted to bring us into the land. It didn't work. He had to bring us to the Golos. And in Golos, to a certain degree, as Rav Yaakov Emden said, we see a greater godliness. Of course, if there were only tzaddiki and every Russia would get punished, that would be manifestation of godliness. But you know what a greater manifestation of godliness is? When Hashem doesn't punish the wicked people, and they're able to take that appreciation, the Yichud Hashem, and know that Hashem is Erech HaPayim, and use that as an opportunity to come closer to Hashem. Obviously, it's more dangerous. Like, the plan B was more dangerous to bring us into the Golos. However, if we're able to succeed in that, wow, what a Gilui Kvod Shamayim, that's going to be a revelation of godliness. And my friends, how do we access this kindness of Hashem after David for Berachim Rabbim, and we have to act in that way that Hashem has shown us. The more we act with kindness, the more Hashem is going to respond with kindness. On the second level of Atana, Yigdal Na Koach Hashem, we're asking, Hashem, let your Koach be great. What is your Koach? We don't want Hashem's might. But there's a certain strength we do want, the strength to withhold. And that's the strength that we all have as well. Hashem, hold back. by you not punishing us, that's going to, by not destroying us completely, that's going to be even a greater Kiddush Hashem. Because it's very easy to erupt like a volcano. It's much harder to be able to hold in. And that is the challenge. And that's the greatness of Hashem. That He throws us pebbles, the wipies, rather than throwing us into an entire bath, rather than the big stone. And we have to follow suit. Not getting angry. Being able to make comments, but not exploding small stones. Water full of chesed. And finally, Vatayitana Koach Hashem is a mindset for life. Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching us that every time we're able to work on our nisyonos, that we're able to be that ruler over our staff, that we're able to stick to, with pun intended, to the values that we hold dear to us, when we are able to access that godly soul in us, at that moment we are creating greater godliness in this world, and Hashem obviously will treat us on a higher type of level. And that, my friends, is Salachti Kivarecha, that Hashem very much treats us measure for measure. And my bracha to all of us is that we're in such a time of din that all of us as individuals and collectively daven to Hashem. We get it. We see that you're bopping us over the head with din. Hashem, can't you just be able to give us this Rachamim Rabbim, this tremendous amount of chesed, and let us see you and your manifestation through kindness and not through judgment.